Blog Talk Radio.
The computer buffer.
Bye. Oh.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Fun Gun, live on the off-ramp. We back. We in fucking April, yo. We done missed like 3 weeks. It's been a long time, man. Welcome to the off-ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. In this case, probably like the last 3 weeks. If you want to call in, 929-477-3975, I apologize for the hiatus. I didn't mean to miss y'all for this long, but, you know, shit happens. The website was down. I had to travel. Blur had to travel. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, we had to get low for a while. I'm still getting over a bad sickness, yo. Look, I took 8 flights. And I think I counted 12 days.
8.
Yeah. 8 flights in 12 days.
Are you talking about each leg of a flight?
Yeah, still flight. And I made it to the very last one. Me and DJ C. Siren, we mask up on planes, airports. I did it when I was in coming back from Texas. And I landed, I said, all right, I made it. I'm safe. And then I was like, no, I didn't. And I was down bad, yo. We called the G. I caught the G, yo. And it was rough. I was in the house for 3 days. Like, and then DJ, she's all right, left. She flew to New York. I'm on my deathbed. And she's like, all right, I'm going to go party with my niece. And so she flew to New York. And I'm just laying there in my deathbed. I ain't seen my son for 3 days. My son said, Dad, I ain't got nothing to eat. I said, what you been eating? He was like, Cheerios and meat. And I didn't even know what that meant. I was just like, I'll do what I can for you. But I'm back. I'm feeling better. Still a little stuffed up. Still fighting the cough. Don't know how long we'll be on tonight. If we're going to do the whole 2 hours or just an hour. Cause I still need to get this out of me, pause, and get some rest. But I'm glad to be back, man. I miss y'all. It's been fun. We got a lot to catch up on. A lot of things happened in the last 3 weeks. I mean, we're talking from the women's Final Four to the men's Final Four, NBA playoffs. Diddy, Drake, Kendrick Lamar. There's been a lot of stuff that's happening. So we'll catch up as best as we can and get up to speed. So without further ado, again, you can catch us on all social medias. I ain't doing all that right now. But, you know, hit us up. Feel free to call in 929-477-3975. I will try not to cough on the mic as much as I can. Again, I apologize for my voice, but, you know, we won't make it do what it do. So first, without further ado, we'd like to welcome the lovely, the wonderful DJ C. Siren. DJ C. Siren, I ain't seen you in 2 weeks. How you been?
Evening. How's everybody doing?
Good, good. Good energy.
Tired.
Yeah, I think I'm getting my house sick. It's 100% on me. I got my man Hove on the line. Hove, welcome to the off-ramp. How you holding up?
What's good, B? Glad to hear you back home. Glad you're down sick, but hopefully you feel better, man. I'm just headed out to track practice.
Okay, yeah, man, glad to be back, man, glad to have some energy. Glad to have you on board as always. Got my man Weezy in the building. Weezy, welcome to the off-ramp tonight, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Same sentiment as Hove there. Glad you're feeling better. And that's a lot of traveling you did. Hope you got some frequent flyer miles out of that. But welcome back.
Yeah, I wish. Look, Weezy's so fucking phony, and I love him to death. He called me like randomly in the morning. I said, oh, shit, I hope you're all right. I called him. He didn't pick up. Called him again. He didn't pick up. I called him a third time. He said, yo, I'm in Trinidad. I'm going to call you back. He never called me back. And then he sent me a text. He was like, yeah, I'm stuck in Miami.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
I still haven't heard from him until tonight.
Well, he's facts. I mean, hey, he's getting facts. I can't lie. But yeah.
I was like, what the? He's like, yeah, I'm in Trinidad. I'll call you back. I was like, what the fuck is going on right now? But glad to have you, Weezy. Glad to have you, Weezy. Let's see. What are we going to start off with? Hold on one more second, my good folks. I got to check one more thing. All right, I got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing, my brother?
Oh, man, blessed and highly favored as always, man. It's not a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's another tornado warning actually out here in St. Louis. But other than that, man, you know, it is what it is, man. Beautiful day on the inside.
Hey, I hear that. Make sure you be safe, yo. You seen Twister, all you need is a belt. A belt and a pole. We want to talk about some terrible movie endings. Like the big F5 tornado hit, they tied a leather belt to a pole and survived. Like, I need them to die. But they're coming out with a new Twister, though, so we'll see. So we'll see how the new one goes. All right, man, look, where y'all want to start? Y'all want to start rap beef? Y'all want to start sports? Let's DJ C-Sign. We've been going for 3 weeks. Y'all want to hear about the trip in Dallas? Shout out to all my Mexican homies. I done ate way too many tacos. I done walked the streets of Texas way too much. DJ C-Sign, where you want to start at? Anything in particular you want to talk about?
I'm at a loss.
Did you, so just scaling back and just to give DJ C-Star her chance to talk before she falls asleep, did you want to do a Cowboy Carter review? Because we still haven't talked about that since we've been gone. What'd you think about the whole spectacle of that? Were you disappointed in the Cowboy album, the country album?
It really is a, for me personally, it is stereotypical, meaning it is my usual response to Beyonce. And what it is I usually initially have some resistance.
Light skin beef.
And I just, when I first heard, you know, this was the album, I was really disappointed. Did not really want to hear anything that was even deemed country, cowboy, you know.
But you're from the country. I would have thought that you would enjoy this. But you always listen to country music.
Mm-mm. I mean, there's a couple things I listen to. But I was like, not for a whole album. And everything, but like in true Beyonce fashion, pleasantly surprised. I thought it was, you know, I think this was a complaint. It's just so it's put together. It's just so calculated. Yeah, it was. But that
Bruno Mars and what
was that Bruno Mars and
like Bruno Mars's album. That album that sold like 40 million.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that album called?
24?
Yeah, 24 Karat Magic. It just said it was too perfect.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it was calculated. And to you know, it just seems like, yeah, somebody was sitting for a few years on how to make this happen, to make it as country but not country, You know, it says not a country album, it's a Beyonce album. It is a Beyonce album. But, you know, everything is for a reason. It's put, I think the songs are great. I really like them. I think they're a great mashup. We're calling it country. But, you know, we talk about this, about genres. Like, sometimes you just have to not be so, like, strict and gung-ho. And I think country's probably one of the last genres where, you know, it has to be a truck. It has to be a beer. It has to be horses. It has to be, you know, cut off jeans. You know, everything has to sound a certain way for it to be country, which I feel like this is a great introduction of saying, no, it really doesn't. And, you know, the culture of being country or to have Southern roots or to have all these things include Black people, which no one wants to, you know, no one wants to acknowledge. And I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool that the white artists that she had on there are basically genre-bending artists who have done country music but aren't necessarily considered country. So it's like you bitching at me for doing it. These artists have done it, and y'all cool. So don't, so it's not because of that. So I thought that was cool that that's what we saw. And included some actual Black country artists that, you know, I wasn't up on.
Okay.
So, I think it's a good sounding album. I've listened to it a lot more times than what I would have thought.
I haven't listened to it yet. I keep saying I'm gonna get to it. Blur, you listen to a lot of music. Did you check out the Cowboy Carter joint?
Absolutely, man. I actually like the album, and I totally understand where she said it's a Beyonce album, not a country album. I liked it. I like most of it. I actually didn't like the Beyonce portion of Beyonce's country album, if that makes sense. Like, she got, I think this is her goal, like trying to blend everything together. She has a song on there that's a dance song, like it's a dance song or it's a country song with like dance, because her last album was like have the house music, dance music, but it's like a country song with like a dance beat or a dance instrumental, and I'm like, I think she's trying to just blend everything together. I don't like that. I ain't like there's a couple, one song specifically, but there's a couple songs I think she tried to do too much. All in all, I actually like the album. It's funny because there was one song I was hyped on because she got a – what's the Wrecking Ball chick? I came in like a Wrecking Ball.
Miley
Cyrus. And I'm like, yo, I don't know what Miley did to her, but she should have been on the same track. Cause to me, I sounded like Beyonce just sung Miley Cyrus under the table. First off, Miley sound like she smoked like 5 packs of Newports a day for the past 10 years. Like, that voice.
She sings like that anyway. But that's my favorite song. It's a good
I heard people saying like Miley killed it. And I'm like, she did? I heard her. To me, it sounded like she, like Beyonce made her tap out a couple times. And I'm like, yo, she shouldn't be in the same studio with Beyonce. But it had me thinking maybe I don't, my ears just ain't tuned to, like, that type of music. I went back and I listened to it, and I'm like, yo, I still feel like Beyonce singing her under the table, but I don't know. I heard, like, some real music critics and, like, real singers saying, nah, Miley did her thing. Like, she killed Beyonce on that, and I'm like, nah, I just ain't hearing it. And then it's a couple of, like, she has a couple of moments on that album that are just like really dope, that really stand out. It's a really long album though. I think it's like 27 songs or something like that. Like, 5 of them I ain't really feeling. Like, 2 or 3 are interludes. Other than that, it's like no skips. And like, you get to like 17 or 18 songs out of 25 that are no skips. Like, yo, that's a pretty good album. That's technically
okay.
2 discs of non-skips. Like, that's pretty dope.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got my man New York in the building. Welcome, welcome. Anybody else got anything left on Cowboy Carter? I ain't listened to it, but, I mean, I know some we were supposed to discuss. But it sounds like it was a good project by y'all. It got overshadowed pretty quickly, but we'll get to that.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask DJ C. Sire something, because I heard some people talk about that Beyonce ruined Jolene. What you think?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, you agree?
No, I don't
think. Weezy, you agree? You think she did?
Yeah, that's the only, like, I agree with you, excuse me, DJ C. Siren, but yeah, I agree with you said earlier about non-skip. Like, you put that disc on, you don't got to skip any tracks. It's good music. She had a ton of guest stars on there, including Miley Cyrus. And the first thing I was like, man, I wonder if she's going to do Jolene. And she had Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus on the album who both did Jolene. And she's third best out of all of them. I mean, they didn't do it on that. Each individually did it. And the one Beyonce put out is the worst of the three. She tried to make it too country. Like, she should have just sung it like she could sing. You know what I mean? Like, I think she did ruin that one.
Are y'all going to explain what Jolene is?
It's a song.
Oh.
It's a song.
Jolene.
But,
you know.
All right,
go.
I felt like everyone felt like that's, I guess, the epitome of a country song. It's never been my favorite song. I mean, it's great, but it's not my favorite Dolly Parton song.
Great New York boobs.
Right, yeah. I think what Beyonce wants to do, she didn't really change it up. Like I said, she is singing it kind of more traditionally like Dolly singing it. The change up was changing the lyrics. So the lyrics were changed, and it was done in a, we'll say, lemonade perspective. I think that's kind of what you want to do. Like, I'm not going to change the way it's sung, but we're going to change the words to kind of, you know, change the perspective of the story. So I can respect that.
I wasn't the biggest Jolene fan. Like, I heard the song, I thought it was dope, and then, I mean, I think that might be Dolly Parton's biggest song. I mean, aside of I actually told my girl that she couldn't listen to Jolene because I was like, nah. I personally didn't like what Beyonce did with it, but I heard some other people talking about how what made Jolene is, like, you got to remember what Dolly looked like back in the 70s, and you got someone who looks like Dolly thinking about, yo, Jolene, don't take my man. I can't stop you. There's nothing I can do. Looking like how I look, that can just stop you from taking my man, so please don't do it. And now you got Beyonce, who could, you know, recreate that moment, flipping it like, nah, Jolene, don't look at my man. I'm putting these hands on you. So I kind of got what people were saying, but that was one of the only songs, like, aside from the end of the album, that was, like, the only one, like, in the middle where I thought it was going non-skip, and I was like, this is cool, but nah, I don't want to hear this one no more. I was never even, like, a big Jolene fan when Dolly did it, but I get what people are saying.
Hey, look at y'all knowing country music being eclectic. I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about, but good talk. Y'all done? I don't want to interrupt y'all, but, you know, I just don't know what y'all talking about.
One other thing, real quick. I don't know if y'all heard. It was like someone just spilled the beans not too long ago, like a week or so ago, that this is kind of in conjunction with Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's next album is supposedly a rap album. And I thought it was a joke, but the title of the album and the track list is already out, and she's calling it, it's like poetry over instrumentals, which sounds like rap to me. Spoken word poetry over music? Sounds like she's going to be rapping.
I'll wait to see if that's true. I would be very surprised.
I would love Taylor to get into the Kendrick Drake beef.
I think Taylor Swift has better. I don't know how that would be pulled off. I don't think that's something she could pull off, truthfully. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see if it come out a little bit.
Y'all going to go listen to Taylor Swift?
I don't listen to Taylor Swift. That's not my not my forte.
What? You don't know Taylor Swift?
No, I can't. I can't.
What?
I can't. She doesn't. She doesn't.
You ain't got no Taylor Swift in your Serato?
Oh, man.
Taylor got some bangers. I ain't going for it. She got some bangers. But if she hook up with Dark Child or whoever that was, the dude who was messing with Miley Cyrus when he was doing all her beats, she got enough money. She could get the best producers. She could get the best ghostwriters or lab writers or whatever. I mean, she might be able to make that happen.
Didn't she ruin Robin Thicke?
Yes and no, but...
She took that black girl from Robin Thicke. Or
who?
Taylor, who was it? Miley Cyrus. Didn't she take Robin Thicke from that black girl?
No. It was just...
Because she was twerking on him in the Beetlejuice costume?
Yes. But she didn't ruin it. It was just a bad time.
That was a long back, y'all. I don't know why everybody would have got mad at Robin Thicke. That could only have hurt himself. That's a lot of bones. That's why you got to go with the thick strippers. All right, so y'all deal with Cowboy Carter. New York, New York, you want to jump in? I know you're a music fan. You care anything about Cowboy Carter before we move on?
I haven't even got a chance to listen to it. So it's still there, right there in the queue, but I haven't got a chance to listen to it.
I know Hov like me. I know he ain't push play on that at all.
You already know, bro. I didn't even like the first song. Like, what's the point of listening to the rest of it?
Well, Old Country Road? What was the first
song? That was her song called? I don't know what the song's called. I just know it's Beyonce and it's country and it's trash.
No, the Beyonce country song.
What, the first single?
This Ain't Texas.
Yeah, Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, that
I was bumping that. I was bumping that in Texas. I turned it off pretty quickly, though. But, all right. So, cool. So, all right, DJ C-Sire got her Cowboy Carter out the way. Blur, anything specific you want to talk about?
I kind of want to get to the beef, but I feel like we got to touch on sports because we already talked about Dante Porter last time we was all here. I feel like we might need to get to what happened with him, man.
All right. Well, go ahead and talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Please get to that. I seen that.
For anybody who don't remember, man, we talked to him a couple weeks ago about I think it's Jontay Porter. He's a player to Michael Porter. Well, he got caught gambling. We talked about a couple weeks ago. He got caught gambling, and they were doing an investigation. I want to say just yesterday the NBA announced he is banned from the NBA for life. I think dude's only like 22, 24, something like that, and he is banned for life. He will never play in the NBA again.
For life.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. He was on an NBA squad, and what happened? His brother
he
was
got caught different points, basically. So what happened was, long story short, he's not his cousin or his brother, Michael Porter Jr., is the more popular NBA player. He's a rotational guy. Like he gets like 5 to 10 minutes. But he's obviously has an issue gambling. So they basically caught him. So there was one bet that came in that particularly stood out. Apparently they had been watching it for a minute because there was some funny things going on with DraftKings, with bets coming in on like prop bets and stuff. And his was just getting flooded. So, you know, basically he had – there was a prop bet for him to score under 1 point. And they got like millions of dollars that he would get under 1 point. And again, he's just a rotational player. He's not even like a big name. So like he checked in the game and then checked out with a sickness. So like whoever bet, like all these people who bet the under, like cashed out with like a ton of money. And they was like, this don't look right. So they started doing an investigation on him, and they basically found out he was gambling. He was, like, he would know his spreads of stuff that he needed to do, and he was shaving points. And the NBA said, you can never play in the NBA again. They gave him the Pete Rose, which I guess it's a lot easier because he's not a big name like Shohei Ohtani, who's, you know, still embroiled in a gambling issue himself. But, yeah, man, this is the first time we've seen in this gambling culture of allowing – of gambling basically being allowable and acceptable that's not in Vegas – show up in the big leagues in a negative way since Pete Rose. And Pete Rose still can't get into the Major League Hall of Fame. So, but he was a Hall of Fame player. Jonte Porter.
He's only 24. So that's the thing. That's like the saddest part to me, in my opinion, because he's still young. Like, we don't know what he could have turned into if he was able to stick around the league a little bit longer. I mean, maybe he just needed to be in the right opportunity. Cause we see that from time to time. You're a bench player, role player, until you get into a team where you're in the right spot that fits you. I mean, that probably wasn't going to be him, but we never know. We'll never know. He was doing the most.
Who go from scoring 0 points to 20?
Well, not to say 0 points. I was just talking, because I mentioned it earlier, like J.J. Redick wasn't a great player until he got to the right team and they got to using him the right way.
Still would never consider J.J. Redick a great player. He was a great shooter.
I mean, imagine if he'd have had that, if he would have had what he had on the Sixers, if he would have been in that position earlier in his career.
What'd you say, Hov?
Called him a Duke GOAT.
Yeah, he's a great player for Duke. But he wasn't a great NBA player by any stretch of the means. Great shooter, you know, specialty player.
Oh, no, yeah.
But, you know, great role player. You know, you can shoot the ball like JJ. You're going to be able to play. Good podcast, too. He has a really good podcast. But, yeah, man, so Jonte Porter golf. Don't gamble, kids.
They found out like he was gambling, like he was placing mad bets, and like some of the bets, like you mentioned, just didn't make sense. Like the early bets was like the site that they was betting on could only take like so much money at a time. People was trying to place like $20,000 bets on Jonte Porter. Like you just raising all the red flags. Like he was betting on other people's games. He was betting on his game. He was betting on him on his team to lose. And I think that's the part that really got the NBA messed up. They're like, all right, hold on. We might be able to excuse if you bet on other people's games. We might be able to excuse if we bet if you were just so confident in your team and yourself that you bet for y'all to win. Like, come on, everybody's supposed to always think they're going to win. You bet for your team to lose, and you play a role in that. So, yeah, I don't think he left them any opportunity whatsoever but to give him the life ban.
Yeah, he'll be over.
Oh yeah, and it was like $10 million, wasn't it?
Yep. Oh, it was a couple million.
It was good. I thought it was like 10. Yeah, he was out there spending.
Yeah.
Off into the wind.
He was trying to hit the come up.
Let me ask you this, Beachbum, I know where you at with gambling. If you got that plug and they was like, hey, just put 10 G's on him getting less than 1 point, you think you'd have jumped on it?
Okay, so you know how me and gambling is. I got to watch myself. There's a good chance that if I was a role player in an NBA situation, I'd have definitely had one of y'all place some bets for me. Like, we'd have definitely earned some money. But I wouldn't have told, like, let's say, so I got probably a tight-knit crew of about 15 dudes, right? Out of those 15 dudes, I love them all my homies, there's probably only two I would trust with that type of deal. And I would trust that they wouldn't go tell their people. But then again, you just never know. If I told Hov, yo, I'm not going to be able to play tonight. They got me a scoring 2 points. Just bet the under. Let's come out here with a little 50K real quick. But don't tell nobody. I would think that Hov would never say nothing. But if Hov was like, yo, I can make 50K. I can make 100 if I tell my man to do the same. And then next thing you know, it blows up. And then you caught. Think that I'd be smart enough. It just depends what role I'm in. Like, I don't know. I've done a lot of gambling. I've done a lot of gambling in life, and I think I've been pretty good at it just because I don't feel like – you don't feel like you have to do it. I don't feel like I have to do it every single day because that's where the addiction comes. And when you get so many people to continually to bet something that doesn't seem right, somebody – I mean, they pay – this is a billion-dollar business. They have algorithms to make sure that if something doesn't look right, they notice it. So you can't do it. Yeah, I mean, you can only do that something like once a year, yo, to be safe. But, yeah, I probably would jump on the dance.
Do you or do y'all think Shohan Ohtani is going to get any repercussions, or is he too big to fail? Like, for y'all who don't know, Ohtani, we talked about this last time. He's the almost billion-dollar player from Japan, like the Chinese or whatever. I think he's Chinese. The Chinese Babe Ruth, because he's a pitcher and he's a hitter. Like, he does it all. Like, one of Major League Baseball, one of his biggest stars, and he's also involved in the gambling thing.
Wasn't it that his manager was stealing his money from him and doing all types of randomness, like buying art and gambling?
That's the story.
I mean, he's in it.
That's the story they tell. Most people think it's Ohtani.
Oh, I got you. Okay. He said the fall
guy. I think he's too big to fail. Baseball can't. They can't afford to take that hit right now. They got to eat that one and just let whatever story he said ride, you know what I mean? Because once you start opening those floodgates, like, he's not the only one betting, right? So once they go down that rabbit hole, like, that's where they get in trouble. So if they just cover it up and keep it on the low and let it ride, like, that'll just – the other stuff will just kind of end. Like, that's just kind of how the leagues operate because they got to keep their money, so their best players got to be available.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think Pete Rose, that like these NBA cats are wild. Like, Pete Rose was betting on himself to win. He was betting on his team to win, bet, you know, whatever, whatever. You can't go out there betting that you're going to score less than 1 point. Come on, bro. Like, that's just wrong. Like, if you put $1 million on yourself that you're going to drop 50, it's like, okay, that's, I feel like that's a little different.
Pete Rose, is that his story keeps changing, like, throughout the year. It went from he didn't bet on the Reds to he did bet on the Reds, so he always bet on the Reds to win. I think the last one was that he bet on the Reds and it was win or lose, depending on who they were playing. Like, he just kept lying and his story kept changing.
Yeah. Just give y'all a couple of nuggets of information. Yes, it was proven that Pete Rose sometimes bet that the Reds wouldn't win, depending on who was in the lineup. Injuries. They did say injuries was always a part of it if somebody wasn't there, you know. But the Shohei Ohtani thing, just to give you all information, he's going to get off because they seized the manager's records. And in the text exchange between the manager and the bookie says, hey, this is some bullshit. I know you didn't steal from Ohtani, and this is a cover-up job. And the manager responds, no, I did steal from him. So once that is allowed in courts, like, you can't deny it anymore. Like, it wasn't like anybody pressured him. That was his own words to the bookie saying that he admitted that he stole from him. So now, do we still think it's a cover-up
to the bookie after the story was already out?
No, this was this was kind of, they said the dates were like kind of
like,
in
why
the beginning.
Why would the bookie ask about him stealing unless he had heard that, hey, that's the story that you stealing from Ohtani?
Well, because the conversation was about, because the bookie is still owed money. So the bookie was texting the manager about, like, still getting his money. And the manager was like, yeah, I'm going to still get it to you. It's just I got to figure out another way because of everything that's going on. And the bookie was like, yeah, I know you didn't steal from him, and this is a cover-up because you was covering bets for him. And he responded, well, technically, I did steal from him. So Shohei Ohtani can just say, hey, look at the text. He admitted to steal no matter what, and he's good.
I feel like the Dodgers were the ones replying to that text message.
It might have been. You never know. With AI, you never know.
What's funny is I saw a video, and I want to say it was from CBS Sports, but I could be wrong. Either CBS or ABC Sports. And I think it was like two or three of Ohtani's worst games were games where his interpreter bet the under. It was like they showed like his whatever his – it was like pitching games too, not like batting. It was like pitching games. And he was pulled from three games in like the first three innings. Like his performance was that bad. I seen that story one time when it was first breaking. I have not seen that story since.
Yeah.
It's like they have the dates. They know what dates he's gambled on, and they know what – they could go and look at the records and see what he did on those games. I seen one outlet do that, and I have not seen anyone else do it.
Look, bro, you get a chilly tiny out here, yo. You trying to battle China. We don't want them problems right now, yo.
Japan.
Same difference.
The big difference.
All right. They're all over there. All right. So we done with that? Knock that subject out? All right, cool. Hope, you got anything particularly
well,
you
can't
talk
be done
about?
With sports, though. What about this Caitlin Clark? If you're still on sports.
Oh, yeah, I was going to come to you next. I was going to let Hope see what he want to talk about. But since you rudely interrupted, we'll talk about Caitlin Clark. Now I'm coming to you, Hope, next. Blame Weezy. Caitlin Clark. Man, this could be a load of topics.
Why didn't she take the $5 million from Ice Cube? Like she's getting paid $300,000 over 5 years, dog. That's crazy to be the number one pick. Like I think she made a huge mistake by going to the WNBA. I think she could have set the WNBA on fire if she'd have, you know, took that $5 million from Ice Cube, played with the Big Three for a year, and then go into the WNBA or something like that, just to show that, hey, like, money talks. Like, you got to start paying these girls.
I couldn't disagree more.
Okay, go ahead.
I understand, like, on the face of it, that sounds like a good idea. But, one, I don't think she would have ever got – well, if she would have signed, Ice Cube would have found a way for her to get the money. But I think that's short-term thinking on her part, or would have been. She's about to sign a Nike deal, which I'm sure is going to pay her a lot more than $5 million. So, like, the WNBA money, that's just chump change. That's like Shohei Ohtani. Because all the money that the gambler was doing was coming out his MLB money. And he said he don't even know where the MLB money goes. He don't even know what bank it's in. That's going to be Caitlin Clark with her WNBA money. Like, she's going to get this Nike money, and she's going to get her endorsement money. And that's going to be a lot more than $5 million. If she was to play the Big Three with men and get beat up or pushed around or just embarrassed in any way, because, come on, like, let's be real, if that's what was going to happen, those shoes weren't going to sell as fast. Those jerseys weren't going to sell as fast when she finally came over to the WNBA because both seasons are at the same time, apparently. Now, I know the Big Three is only a couple of games, but she would have had, they would have been both.
And
you can't do both at the same time.
Ice Cube was going to move the schedule for her. He was going to make all her games home games in whatever city she's playing in the WNBA. And my thing is, like, I can't stand when people bring up the sponsorship money. Like, oh, well, the NBA, the WNBA don't have to pay her because she got Nike. Like, that, say that about LeBron. LeBron got his Nike and you know, whatever contract, still getting paid by the NBA. Like, stop all that, oh, you know, she's going to be rich some other way, so the WNBA don't got to pay her. My thing is just about that league. And that league is not going to grow unless they start paying people. And I know, you know, it's subsidized by the NBA and all that, but if they want to make it real, like, they gotta spend real money real quick. You know, they can't sit here and pay people chump change because they're going to go elsewhere.
Well, that's about to happen, though. I think you got to have your Magic Johnson and your Larry Birds. You got to have the talent come in. I think that's what's happening right now. Like, Caitlin Clark jersey sold out. Every game that the Indiana Storm or whatever their team is, ticket sales, any available tickets have already sold out. Like, once the TV money get in there, which I think is going to be the next deal because people are going to want to see her play, her, Angel Reese, and I guess whoever the chick is, Juju Watson or whatever her name was at USC, this crop of players coming up now are going to be the real superstars. And I think this is going to be the one that actually grows the WNBA so when they can really start playing players. Because right now, this is looking like the NBA before Bird and Magic. And we're about to see the same type of result. After the Bird and Magic came in and they went back and forth championships year after year, we saw the growth in the NBA. Then we're about to see the same thing with the WNBA.
Let me pose this question. I've asked DJ C. Siren. DJ C. Siren, do you want to take it upon your shoulders to help build out this league based on your talent, or do you want to, or would you rather $5 million? Just cut the check.
Would I rather $5 million or be in the league?
Put it on your shoulders to be the Magic Johnson and try and bring this late league into the mainstream and make it work, or do you want that check for $5 million?
But it's not just a check for $5 million. You're talking about the
big three.
The big three, yeah. I mean, I think that would be challenging.
So it's a check for $5 million. It's a check for $5 million.
But
I don't care who's cutting it for what. I'm taking the money.
No,
I guess
I'll
win.
I don't know.
I think you got to look at it like this, though.
Big three, and you got to travel around with Ice Cube and them? I don't.
You're the star of the show. You're the white girl in a room full of black men. It seems like a great time.
She'd be very uncomfortable.
It sounds like she'd be in heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's her worst nightmare.
Why?
Like, she'd be scared. What's she playing for?
Iowa.
Okay, she's scared as shit.
I don't know. But it's tough. I mean, Weezy, I understand what you're saying because I saw Ice Cube say, hey, he'll do whatever he needs to do to make sure she doesn't miss any WNBA games or practices. And it'd be great promotion for his league. And, you know, with the big three, they have, like, the four-pointers and all that stuff. It's not like – and it's 3-on-3, so it's not like she's going to be running up and down with a bunch of dudes that are bigger, stronger, and faster than her. She's playing a half-court game, which it does help out with a shooter in that sense. But, you know – she's going to be the face of a league. That value is going to be more, is going to be worth more than playing the big three in that $5 million check. I mean, honestly,
you promise? You promise?
Because just, I mean, I don't know how much the Indiana Fever is worth, but I'm pretty sure the love that Caitlin Clark, I mean, let's be honest, Caitlin Clark took white people, like, she invaded the white people's homes. She became the white media darling, which is worth a ton. Her endorsement in Nike
is probably going to be enough that she could probably buy the WNBA team she's playing for, if we're being totally honest. She's probably going to make that much money. I mean, I've been having white people at my kids' baseball games come up to me and talk about, how about that Caitlin Clark girl? She really changed basketball. And in my head, I'm like, no, she didn't. Coming from their perspective, she did. She brought the white middle-class family to basketball, to women's basketball. She was a star. I mean,
well,
she
brought
was great.
Everybody to women's basketball. Black people weren't watching the WNBA either. Nobody was watching it.
Or women's college basketball. I mean, we weren't watching it.
See, I watched girls' college basketball. Deanna Taurasi, Cheryl Swoops.
I was gonna say, my name's Cheryl. So between Cheryl,
Rebecca Lobo, who's my big girl from the LA Sparks? Lisa Leslie. Like,
you naming a lot of old people, man.
Deanna Taurasi ain't that old. I mean, Sue Bird. I mean, there's a bunch of chicks that I enjoy watching. But I'm one of those people who just watches sports. So,
I mean, you didn't name Cheryl Ionescu? I think she won, three national championships in 4 years? I think 3 years straight of not losing a game? She didn't do what Caitlin Clark did. She won 3 national championships in 4 years with MVP, or I guess whatever they do for women's college basketball. 3 years in a row, went 2 or 3 years without losing a game. No one cared. Not like they care now. Like,
yeah,
Caitlin Clark did all this without winning a chip.
I know. That's what I said. She brought. Well, I guess you're agreeing with Weezy when you're saying that she brought everyone to women's basketball. I'm saying that I've watched women's basketball before Caitlin Clark, but you're right. Caitlin was the popular one. She was the oddball, and she had the Steph Curry effect. I give her all the props in the world for it. And I do think that she, you know, she's going to be a face of the WNBA. I don't know how effective she'll be. It's one of those things when you can shoot like that, you can pretty much be effective anywhere. But she's going to come up against some tough, tough girls.
They already had to move, like, her opening day game. They had to move it to a different stadium or a different arena because of ticket sales.
Yeah.
Like, she's already having an effect.
Yeah.
So let me flip it, though. So what do y'all think about all the old heads in the WNBA hating on her, talking about, oh, she playing against 18-year-olds. She's not going to do none of that when she comes in the league. Like, I feel like that's backwards. I feel like they don't want her to succeed, and they don't want their league to improve. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, you can shoot from the logo. You know, it's that Steph Curry thing. You ain't going to be able to shoot. You ain't going to be able to do that there. I mean, they said the same thing about LeBron. Think about all them dudes on the Cavs who was like, no 18-year-old can come in here and start. You talk about Boobie Miles in there. Or who was it? Miles, I forgot his name. Miles, not Miles Davis. But anyway, but it's like a lot of those kids, it could happen. And it did anyway. You know, if she's as competitive as she seems, and because she can shoot from the logo, I think she'll be successful. She's going to have to gain some weight because she's tiny out there. But, I mean, we said the same thing about Steph. I didn't see any of the WNBA girls hating on her just because I just don't follow that type of content. So I didn't know that any of the girls hated on her. I would think that they would embrace her because it's just more money for them.
Well, I think
one
girl,
that show with Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco, where I forget the girl's name, but she was hating on her. And then when they had the live stream, when they had the two former WNBA players watching the Iowa versus LSU game, they were basically rooting against her. You know, it was just too easy to see, especially with females. You know, when females hate on each other, like, it's out in the open, you know.
Yeah, the hate was obvious. I don't know if they don't want the league to grow. I just think it's like anybody, any old head. You see the young people coming up, and you're like, I didn't get that attention. I'm doing what she followed in my footsteps. And so you want to get the – so it's definitely hate, but I think that just happens across the board. Like when it was LeBron, when it's anybody, like when Greg Oden was coming into the league and Shaq hated on him a little bit, like Shaq hates on all the young big guys. Like old people just hate. And I guess that goes for men and women.
I don't be hating, yo. I be congratulating. But yeah, well, I think
you got money.
I think it'd be good. What'd you say?
So you got money on the game.
Yeah, we'll see. It was sad to see that. Like I don't understand. Like I understand that Caitlin Clark is white and in Iowa, but. It really became a black and white thing, and I stayed out of it. I saw it on the internet. I stayed out of it. But it really is amazing how, like, people gravitate because of color. Like, I remember I was talking to my neighbors, and, you know, they get folks or whatever. But they, of course, they're white, and they're all on the Caitlin Clark train, and she's the best player ever. They told me that she was the best college basketball player ever. I was like, no, she's not. But cool. But at one point, he was like, yeah, Iowa has the best-looking girls team, too. And I was like, okay. What are we looking at here? I like watching the Iowa girls play. I like, look, I think the girl with the afro puffs is cute. I think the other girl who can shoot real well, she ain't bad. But Caitlin's not cute. So if you tell me 2 out of 12 is cute and that's the best looking team, but I thought it was just two Americas. So I'm like, yeah, you can't look at that LSU team, and I think that they're a better-looking group of girls. And now we're getting superficial when it comes to athletes. But look, women look at male athletes as sex objects, so I don't see the big problem as us looking at these WNBA players as sexy, too, because Juju bad as a motherfucker, and I feel weird saying that. I think she only 18. That's like a little kid. But, yeah, when they said, yeah, Iowa got the best team and the best-looking girls team, I said, okay. I said, see, this is racist. Because mm-hmm. them country girls, and this ain't even me being racist, like, oh, no, black girls got to look better. That white girl, LSU, bad as hell. She tough. She caught the meme when Caitlin put that shot in her face. But as a attractive young lady, again, she's like a kid. She's tough. So this ain't even a black and white thing. But I was like, all right, I got to step out of this conversation. But, you know, it was fun. It was. What'd you say?
I would say Beach Bum. This is a topic for another day. You can keep it in your pocket. But basically, when you think of the NIL money that colleges are giving these females, the percentage that goes to just the good-looking chicks versus the talented ones, it's ridiculous. Like, it's starting to get ridiculous. Like, you know, you can Google, like, the Cavender twins who, you know, they don't win no championships, but they got, you know, a huge deal. That gymnast Olivia Dunn, you know, who basically just a TikToker slash stripper who got all the NIL money. It's like, is that where they going with the NIL money? Just who can get the most TikTok views? You know, instead of athletes, but that's another topic for another day.
But no, I mean, we talked about that. But that's what, when you're talking about NIL money, it's for your image and likeness. And what sells? Attractive, sexy people. So, yeah. You know, unless you're extremely talented, like Caitlin Clark, who's going to capture the heart of young white girls all across America. But if you're that big 7-footer from South Carolina, ain't nobody giving her no money.
You say 7-footer?
Yeah. I mean, it's just not. Now I look at her as a moneymaker. No disrespect, DJ Seaside. And look, and no disrespect for her because I don't know how old she is. She could be 18, and that's too young to say that. But you find a 7-foot athletic girl, you should get her pregnant. you're guaranteed to not have to pay college.
I mean, I don't know about a guarantee, but I'm all for it, just like you're saying, because NIL isn't about the best players. Like, if you want the players to get played, the best players to get paid, pay them for playing the sport. Otherwise, it's just whoever will get the most eyes on them, and that goes across the board, men, women, everybody. Whoever going to bring in the most attention, that's the ones we need to get the NIL money to, because, I mean, they're just pitchmen. They're walking admin or walking commercials. So, yeah, like the dude at Duke, the Duke basketball player, he got a beauty NIL for, like, nail polish or something. I know the big deal because, like, it was some WNBA players and some college players. Like, so he got an NIL deal with a beauty company before any female player did. Hey, the eyes was on him. The eyes wasn't on the female athletes. They were on him. So, hey, look what he's doing to his nails, ladies. Come follow him.
You know, they said he gay, and I don't know for sure or not, so that's all speculation. They said he getting that gay money. They said he just different. Like they got, they said his NIL money isn't even really being reported because he's doing so much stuff on the side for the community. I was just like, hey, get your money, young man. Get your money. Don't let it make you. But, yeah, so did y'all watch the WNBA draft? DJ Cesar, you watch it? Hell no. We wasn't even home. Daddy, y'all watch the WNBA draft after all this Caitlin Clark hype?
I watched some of it. I ain't going to front. I saw Caitlin Clark get drafted. Saw I tuned back in. There was the chick from South Carolina, the big girl. I forgot her name.
Yeah, she's a monster. Yeah. Nobody else watch it? Because I didn't watch that shit, which makes me think that it's not too much is going to change. But the big thing about the investment, that's what I want to get to. I love when we start talking about business. The funny thing is, like, Weezy, when you said that they're going to have to start paying these girls, you got to understand that the WNBA was subsidized by the NBA because no one wanted the WNBA. It was a failing business. It was losing money. They wanted to be nice to the women. And so the NBA said, hey, we'll put this allotment to the side so that girls can still play basketball. It's a nice gesture. It really is. The only way that the money's going to pour in for these girls is if you have private companies or private enterprise groups buy these franchises. You're starting to see that now. Before, I think 10 years ago, every WNBA franchise was owned by the NBA. And within the last 5 years, they've got, I think, about 9 private owners. They even have one that was pretty controversial because she was racist. They got 9 private owners right now. That's what's going to change the money because you got people investing their real money into this and not just being subsidized. So the funny thing is, I don't even think Caitlin Clark's going to see the real money. It's going to be the generation after her. There's going to be kids in high school now. Because now that more women are more women have big time money, Bezos' wife, for example. Now that minorities have more money, they can invest in things that, like the WNBA, which, you know, are good tax shelters, and pay these girls real money. But the owners have to be privatized and be invested, and you're still not going to get a bunch of them, because you still got people like the Cincinnati Bengals owners. Where, you know, they still have roommates on the road. You know what I mean? And sometimes you're just going to get a cheap owner. But Barks spend money on their team. The Seattle team spends money. You know, the whole league doesn't have charter flights, but there are 2 teams. So, you know, we'll see the money increase as more private corporations buy into the business of women's basketball. So
you're not
I'm
wrong,
excited.
But I think even before that, before the owners, I think it's only like 12 or 16 WNBA teams. It's not, they don't got 30 like the NBA, so it's not that many teams to begin with. But I think you got to get the revenue up. I saw a report today that the NBA made over $50 billion in revenue last year when the WNBA barely made it to $200 million. Like, you got to get these TV contracts. You got to get ESPN paying for these games or streaming services paying for these games. You got to get people coming in. You got to get the revenue up. Now, in turn, you'll get some more private investors looking to invest and buy teams. But, I mean, if you get the TV deals and you get the revenue up, I think that's where you start seeing people, all right, we still want 51% of the revenue. Like, you get 51% of $200 million, hey, you got to split that between every single player and everybody, every organization. Like, when they start making billions of dollars in revenue, that 51% going to be a lot higher.
I hope that they try to get a YouTube deal. Like, I would love the WA to get a specific YouTube deal and have all their games streamed on YouTube. I think they should do something different. But, you know,
Google has the money.
Yeah, they do. All right, we done with the WNBA. All right, Hov, since you still out there, you're at practice. You got anything you want to talk about? Hov might be in the middle of practice, so you might not hear from New York. Anything? Why can't I say that word? Specific? You want to talk about?
Nah. I feel like we've been golf. Yeah, like, it almost
feel
like a muff. I'm ready to jump into these topics.
All right, cool. Fuck the Knicks. Let me say it off on top. You know, you're my man, 50 grand. I'm going to tell you right now, fuck the Knicks. Fuck New York. Fuck the chopped cheeses. Fuck y'all rats. Y'all fake good pizza. Fuck y'all tunnels. Fuck all 10 boroughs. Right now, fuck New York as long as Philly is playing against y'all. I just want to state that right now. See y'all in a couple days. What else?
Come on,
man. Let's get to it.
And I don't have.
What'd you say, New York?
You can't say that. I don't have no rebuttal. That felt like, I don't know if you watched back DVD back in the times. Like, that felt like when Jay Mills was battling, he said something like, what did he say? He said, excuse me if I'm being vulgar. He said something. What did he say? He said, damn, I'm drawing a blank. He said, I don't want to be your friends after this. But I'm going to get this off my chest real early. That's how I feel. That's how I feel when you say fuck all that shit. Like, that's crazy.
Yo,
crazy.
My man from New York, so after the Sixers beat the Heat last night, he texted me and was like, Knicks in five. I wish I could read it to y'all. I probably went on, and I had one of those good rants. I probably went on like a 110-message text thread that was just like, fuck everything about New York. And he was just like, all right, you can stop now. And I went from everything from the Statue of Liberty to the Jews that came on Ellis Island. I was on one last night. I'm not going to bore y'all with my whole thread, but I'm just letting y'all know what my temperament is right now. Yo, fuck New York. I love y'all. But until we win this series, what'd you say, Ho?
Go Knicks.
Oh, here you go. Go back on mute, yo. But, all right, so we got that out the way. Talk about the rap beef now. I guess we should jump it. Oh,
let's
what
get to it now, because it's going to take about 45, 50 minutes to go through it, man. Let's just get to it.
I know, but I really want to talk about something real quick. Just something real light. We just real quick. I got to say, I don't know if y'all been watching, and if you haven't, and we don't have to be on this long. The new X-Men cartoon is absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if y'all heard, but, you know, the X-Men that we used to watch as kids, they brought the shit back. And I had this argument with Blur a couple weeks ago when it first came out. I thought the writing was phenomenal and the storytelling was phenomenal. And I must say, like, after I didn't see the most recent episode, again, Traveler, but, dog, like, I don't know if any of y'all are here watching it, but I think it's one. I think when you're talking about a reboot of a cartoon, this might be one of the best I've ever seen. When it just comes to storytelling, and the X-Men cartoon be all over the place. Like, I tried to watch the first, like, when we used to watch as kids, and I'm like, yo, this story's all over the place. This shit's crazy. The way they tie everything together and the story that they're telling now is absolutely fucking phenomenal. So I don't know if y'all got time. And, Blur, I get your opinion, because I know you watch it, because me, you had this conversation. But Hov, Weezy, New York, New York, if y'all used to watch the old X-Men cartoon, spend 2 hours and catch up on the new one. It's fucking phenomenal, yo. Blur, what you think?
It's a great cartoon. It's a great show. Let me just put that. Great show all around. You got to catch up on episode 6 if you haven't seen it. It's great. I will say this. Like, when it first came out, which I love what Disney is doing, they're not doing the Netflix drop everything all at once. They put the first 2 episodes out at once, and then it's been week to week after that up until episode, like, first two weeks, then it was episode 3 one week, episode 4 one week, took a week off, episode 5, episode 6. So it's weekly instead of just all at once. The first 2 episodes that came out together, it wasn't, I felt like they were trying to be too much. They were trying to make everybody know, hey, we're picking up right where the show in the 90s left off. So it was really 90s style of writing. Like, the jokes were from the 90s. Like, the dialogue was from the 90s. So when I was saying, like, yo, this writing ain't great, it's like it just seemed dated, which I guess that might have been their goal. But it, like, they had characters doing jokes like, nah. Like, when was the last time you heard somebody do a joke like that? Like, it was stuff like that. Like, yo, this is corny. It was still, I mean, because the characters we love doing the things we love to see them do, animation looks great, and they've upped the ante on what these characters are doing, but just like the dialogue and the story was kind of corny for me at first. After those first 2 episodes, shit went out the window. It's just been like some of the best storytelling. Well, 6 episodes out, 4 of them are immaculate. Other 2, mediocre.
And this is where I disagree with them. And this is a small disagreement. I thought all 6 were phenomenal. I could have dealt without the Jubilee episode cartoon, but I get what I did it. Or arcade, I get what I did it. But I think all 6 were great. So me and Bird disagree a little bit there, but we both agree it's a phenomenal cartoon. So I'm going to just ask if we can get on to the rap beef. Hov, Weezy, New York, New York, have any of y'all watched it?
Nah, I haven't.
I'm going to check it out, though.
Yeah, please check it out. Let me know what y'all think. Oh, DJC, sorry, quick opinion. What do you think about the X-Men cartoon?
Yeah, great. It's awesome. Y'all haven't watched it?
Blur said the first 2 episodes were corny, but the last 4 have been great.
4 is on, well,
we got to catch up.
It was not corny. You're tripping. It's great.
Well, let me clarify. The first 2 episodes were good. The dialogue, the lines were corny. Episodes 3 and 4 were the ones I think were mediocre.
All right, well, we don't have to quibble over little stuff, but DJ Kisan just stuffed a hunk of Cool Whip in her face. What the hell is going on? All right, Rad Beef.
Oh,
yeah.
For anyone who hasn't watched, let me just get this off real quick. For anyone who hasn't watched X-Men 97, make sure you check it out. As we all just said, it's a great show. Everybody should know or think, like, X-Men was based off of, you know, civil rights, and, you know, the whole civil rights struggle, and, you know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and all that. They've taken all that and they just ramped it up to like 11. You got insurrectionists. It's like it's all that going on. You got some of the best in the later episodes. You got some of the best lines and some of the hardest hitting stuff. Like, this shouldn't really be a cartoon. I think that's hindering it, because I think if this wasn't a cartoon and everybody was watching it, it would be like one of the most talked about shows on streaming.
Storm out here getting fucked by a one-legged man, Indian man. Y'all gotta watch this shit, yo. Just say, yo.
Why are you saying Indian?
That's what he is. He's an Indian. He's Chief Waka Waka.
That is
not
a spoiler?
Native American, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Storm getting fucked by a Native, one-legged Native American. We gotta, the one good thing about Indian is it's just the right amount of syllables. Native American just takes too long. Is it the same amount of syllables? Indian, Native American, yes. Here's too many syllables. All right.
You say indigenous.
Indigenous. All right. So, let's get to it. So, yeah, Weezy, New York. Check out the show. I'm telling you, it's worth it. Binge it real quick. It's only 30 minutes. I would love to know what y'all think. I think it's that good that I'm asking y'all to watch it and let me know what y'all think. All right, let's get to the rap beef, man. So J. Cole came out here and dropped a diss track towards Kendrick Lamar.
Well, you got to go back and first. You got to go back because I don't think we've been here since Like That was out. So, yeah, you got to start there.
Okay, so Metro Boomin and Future drop a song, drop an album. Kendrick's one of the features. Drops a song Like That. Tells the world there is no Big Three. It's just Big Me. And the world reacted. The funny thing is I didn't really like the beat at first, but I can see why people really enjoy the song. DJ Cesar, do you like the Like That? Have you listened to the Future album, and do you like the song with Kendrick Lamar on it? Because you're a big Kendrick girl.
Make sure I listen to the one song. I can't listen to a whole album of Future.
It's not
and
bad.
I can't do it. And it was, why did I have to suffer through verses before Kendrick came on? It was okay.
You gotta stop hating on Future. One of the best verses on Killing Mike album.
I can't.
He beat out Andre 3000 in Killing Mike in a verse.
It's your opinion and it's one song. Whatever.
So dismissive.
I can't.
So, but do you like the song now? What do you think of Kendrick Lamar's verse? You're a Kendrick person. Put me on a Kendrick.
I'm super biased, so I really don't have a good, like, I really...
You were Section 80 early.
Yeah. I really don't...
Before Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City.
Yeah, I don't have a really good, like, I can't, there's, it's very relevant. It would be very weird for me to say that, oh, yeah, it was trash. It was great.
You thought it was a great verse?
It was decent. It wasn't anything that was that phenomenal, but, I just, like, the response, the internet response to it, I thought was just entertaining, because everyone seemed to, like, just clamp down on everything, dissect every word, which I thought was cool.
Aww. That was the best part. I caught it early. I was like, yo, having a rapper just saying, aww, is just so, like, Kendrick, you can tell Kendrick's a funny guy.
Yeah.
You can tell that, like, when he's in his circle, he's probably pretty funny.
Pretty entertaining, yeah. I thought it was a good response, I would expect more if this goes further, but
okay.
And yeah, I didn't mind the beat. I mean, it's classic.
All right, New York. What you think of the Like That song? Or what about the whole Future and Metro album?
He's not
like it. New York. Yes,
no, not New York. No, so I like the entirety of the project. I have to go back and listen to it because I only listened to it one time. So I have to go back and actually, like, you know what I mean, to see if I actually like it, if I'm going to play it in a car for future times like that, right? But, yeah, no, I don't have no problem. I don't have no problem with the Kendrick verse. I think Metro Boomin did exactly what he did, what he was supposed to do. I think it was a perfect, a perfect lineup for Kendrick to come in on that verse the way that he did. And I don't have no problem with Kendrick verse. I mean, he shook the room. At the end of the day, he got the response that he wanted. at the end of the day, and it just sparked a whole new leaf in everybody else to cause all of this stuff, right?
It can really good at capturing a moment. He's really good at that. Weezy, what'd you think?
I'm still not convinced this is a real rap beat. I don't understand. I thought they was all three making money together, and now somebody say one little line, and now it's a rap beat. Like, is this what rap beats have turned into? Like, I feel not like it's all just a fake money, and it's all controlled by Drake, because I did listen to them all, and I feel like Drake shit is still the hottest. And Kendrick is probably the best rapper out of the three, and J. Cole is just trying to sell some music. I still don't think it's real.
Now, they've been beefing for a long time. Like, this has been bubbling for a long, long time. It could be contrived. Ho, what'd you think?
Of the Kendrick verse?
Yeah. Or did you even listen to the whole Future Metro album?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it was all right. Like, kind of like C. Siren said, like, after about four songs, I was like, yo, I just feel like I just listened to the same song four times. But it was solid because I actually listened to the album and ran into the song. Like, I didn't know until I listened to the album. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I heard Kendrick verse, and I was like, wait, is he just... Because I didn't know they was beefing at all. But I thought the verse was solid, like, and it was like that crowd getter, like, Eric, you gonna get the oohs and the ahs, and you know, like I said in our group chat a while ago, like, I think the beef is just good for rap. Like, it's time to hear something different, as long as it stays at rap and it doesn't go in any other direction. I would love to hear another song from all three of them just to come back, but obviously it don't sound like Cole's doing nothing else, but Drake and Kendrick can go back and they can go back at Rick Ross and add some other people. Like, it just, it makes music fun to listen to again instead of just listening to the same old stuff.
Okay. Blur, what'd you think?
Like Cole, yeah, I just ran into the song. I started off, I knew Future and Metro were dropping an album. I was interested to hear it because I like Metro. I like DJ C. Siren. I like Future, but it spurts. Like, a whole album of Future is a lot at one time because it's I'm not really the singing dude. I don't really like all the singing. And he does a lot of that. But I was interested in the album. Like, I knew it was coming. I put it on, like, first thing in the morning. So, rocking out. And... yeah, you get to like track six or seven or whatever it is, and then you just hear it. And I think I think I jumped in our group text and was like, because I ain't the biggest Kendrick fan, I think Kendrick's great. And I said, this is the Kendrick we need. None of that. My auntie is a man now. My auntie is a man. No, fuck that. This is the Kendrick we always need. If Kendrick rhymes like this, hands down, he'll be the best artist of all time. This is the Kendrick we need. We need this energy. Whoa. We need this kind of aggression. We need him rhyming over these kind of beats, making this kind of content. And it ain't always got to be dissing. Like, I didn't know it was a diss, like, the first part of it, but when he first come on, talking out of your neck, don't pull a coffin out of your mouth. And I'm like, whoa, the first bar, that's how we thought. Like, not even... first off, the beat is banging. So I'm already dead. Now, and then I hear that, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's what I'm talking about. That's the Kendrick we need. I think I put that in the group text, like, yo, this is the Kendrick we need, before I even heard the rest of the verse. And then he starts going, and it's like, if he rhymes like this, it's a rap for everybody else. But again, you know, he's a full-fledged artist, so he's going to give us the soft and the deep dives and, you know, Butterflies in the Moon, I Can Fly Twice as High, you know, reading rainbow bullshit. But when he rhyming like this, it's amazing. It's immaculate. And yeah, it says time, like you mentioned, they have been going back and forth for a minute since Control was 7 years ago or more. And like every hip hop outlet has always talked about how Drake is throwing little disses here, Kendrick is throwing little disses here. Like even when the first person shooter came out, they were talking about how there was some disses from J. Cole in there. And he's like, oh, we the big three, like we started the league, but the Spider-Man meme is just me looking at Drake. Like, hey, that Spider-Man meme is usually three Spider-Men in some of them, but you chose to leave only talk about two Spider-Men. So, yeah, so there was some sneak dissing, and he just came out there, jumped out the game like, yo, ain't going to be no question about who I'm talking to. Ain't going to be no question about who I'm talking about or where I stand on this. And it could just all be for entertainment, I mean, which I'm hoping it is, but, hey, when it got to that song and that verse, and I don't know what Future said on that song, don't really care, Kendrick killed it, one of the best, probably the best verse of the year from a rapper, a male rapper, I'll be very specific, and Metro did what he had to do on that beat. I think when you put that beat with that verse, chef's kiss, like, it was like that, pun intended.
Best verse. Oh, that's a lot of that's high praise. All right, well, we got everybody's opinion on that. So the Like That came out, and then J. Cole dropped his project, Might Delete Later. Quick round of room, see what y'all think about that. I thought it was a great. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was very, very good. I enjoyed the project. I still listen to it. At the end of it, he got a song called 7 Minute Drill. That's only about 4 minutes. So I don't know if he understands. I know he built his career on college.
Being smart.
I don't know if he understands how math works. So I was disappointed that it was only 4 minutes. But he went back to Kendrick. I thought it was good. You could tell that he wasn't trying to go vitriol. It was more like, hey, we could do this, but I still fuck with you. You know what I mean? It was very like, yo, me and my boy just gonna spar for a little bit. But I mean, he dropped an entire project, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. That's why when you said that Kendrick Lamar's the best verse, I don't know. I think there's about three verses on that J. Cole project that's better than that Kendrick Lamar's verse. Now, does it have the impact because it's not a diss? Probably not, but that adds soul records. Whew. Ad Soul kills it, too. But I thought J. Cole dropped a good project.
Just about the J. Cole album, real quick. I listened to the whole J. Cole album. I'm not really into the beef. I wasn't really I couldn't find the diss song. I listened to the whole album. I'm like, which song was he supposed to be dissing somebody on? And then I had to Google it. I'm like, for real? Like, oh, I guess. But it just wasn't doing it for me.
Did you like the project, or did you just looking for the diss song?
No, I liked his. I enjoyed his album. It was a little boring to me, but you know, I like J. Cole, you know, but I like his first album more than this one, or whatever the one the main one was that people listened to. You know, I don't dig deep into J. Cole like that. Pause. But yeah, I did enjoy it.
Okay, Blur, what did you think of the last J. Cole project and the response to Kendrick?
All right, so this is a project, and again, just like I'm not the biggest Kendrick fan, I think he's great when he decides to be great. I think J. Cole is great when he decides to be great. He hasn't decided to be great on a project since 2014, Forest Hills Drive. Since then, he's given us a bunch of mid and a bunch of trash. I mean, he's done a couple of good features, which I think is good. But this album, I think, is a lot of the same. Before we get to the last track, 7 Minute Drill, just the album itself, I was underwhelmed. I was underwhelmed. I saw the Cameron joint, which I was anticipating, and he ruined it. He ruined it. The 24 joint, or Ready 24. Yeah, that was some bullshit. It was. I did the math when I remember looking at it. It's like one out of every three songs was good. was not like, hey, that's about J. Cole. He's about a 30% shooter. It's a 12-track album. It's three and a possible are good songs. If you count 7-minute drill, then I'll give you four songs. But since that's a diss track, I kind of take that out. I give it three and a pop. And it really lined up like every third song. I mean, 30%.
Oh, terrible. Terrible take.
Yo, that might have been one of the worst takes I've ever heard, yo.
Y'all like that Ready 24 song? Y'all like that Ready 24 song?
Yo, you sound like
Skip Bayless
right now, dog. Yeah, I like it. You sound like Skip Bayless, dog. You're giving me Skip Bayless level take right now, yo.
Hold on. Let me pull up the track list. And y'all tell me, first off, y'all like that Ready 24 song with Cam'ron? That did for y'all what y'all wanted it to do?
Yeah.
Because remember when he dropped his last project and he had Cam'ron just like ad-libbing it, I came on like, yo, that should have been so much better if he just let Cam'ron. Like, just let Cam go. And then you finally go let Cam go and this is what you give us?
Cole killed that one too. But I want to hear Hov's opinion on that album. Hov, what'd you think of the album?
I mean, you know, in our group chat, like, I thought the album was tough. Like, that I was not expecting to hear Blur say any of that, yo. Like, I'm like, wait a second, like, you made me think I listened to a different album than you, bro. Like, I thought the album was solid. Like, it's not, like, world classic, but I thought it was a playthrough. Like, I didn't think there was a bad song on it, personally. And you put them at 30%. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. Like, but I thought the album was dope. And then I thought the response was, again, solid. Like, I still, like, both him and Kendrick, like, on the beats, like, they left a lot on the bone to me, Paul. Like, there's just more that they can do with it, and I'm excited to hear it if it happens. I know we might not hear from Cole, but it's fun to, like, hear them, like, you know, when you give somebody a purpose, it tends to become a better project, like, when there's a purpose behind it. So now they're making music with a little bit of purpose behind it, so I think it elevates what we're going to be listening to, especially from those guys on it, the Rosses, Drake's, Cole's, and Kendrick. So I thought the diss track was solid. Again, not, like, amazing. But I would hope that that's not the end of it, but we'll see.
New York, what do you think of the project? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I did. I think it's a solid project too. I definitely think it's a solid project too. The only two things that are takeaway of it, and I might be biased. Out of the whole project, it's not even we're gonna get to the disc, but out of the whole project is what you said, Gun. Like, the one song that stood out to me was the Daylight Absol and J. Cole record. And I'm biased about that because, you know, Daylight come from battle rap, and I watch battle rap. So I know what Daylight could do. And I also know what Absol could do. He ain't no play when it comes to his pen. But J. Cole went in on that record, and that's just I think that song just overshadows the whole project for me. That's just my favorite song out of the whole project, and I think that overshadows the whole project. But even when you get to the diss after that, I think the diss is, it could be solid, but it's just like, It's just like, you sparring with your friend, but, like, I don't even want to call it a rap beef because it's not no rap beef because nobody getting touched, nobody doing nothing to nobody. This is a rap competition. And I think Cole in that, what, a 7-minute drill, whatever, I think he was just friendly sparring. And we don't need that when competition. When you get called to the plate, we don't want no friendly competition. You want to see you draw blood and do something. Like, nah, we don't want that. I mean, it's a solid little, but it's just not, it ain't that. And then you take it back later, and then you apologize, and then, like, you take it off streaming services. It's just, miss me with that. But I think, like, out of the whole project, that Daylight, Absol, J. Cole song, was just a movie. Just a movie. You can't get around that.
New York, what did you think of the what did you think of the Cam record?
Oh, I loved it. I ain't gonna hold you. I loved it. If I had to I'm being serious. I loved it. Because I remember when I was growing up and I didn't understand Ken Wong. He's a bing pow pow poom pow pow, all this other stuff. But I grew up to realize it, and then I was like, nah, that's fire, because nobody's doing that. That's why I say, like, my favorite line, I get computers puking. You get shy of that, homie, I do the shoot. That's different. Name somebody else that can talk like that. Name somebody else that can talk like that, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was just like a little bit of the flow. It was kind of like it didn't match the beat, but I can't sit up here and deny, like, he wasn't talking.
All right, so look, Blur is the only one who gives it 30%. Everybody else likes it. So then
I looked at it again. Three and a pop, man.
Everyone thinks you're wrong, and it's okay. But we got to keep it going because we got to go to the
I'm
next part.
I'm with Blur on that. I think it's three and a possible, and I think he knew it, and he put it in that order.
Yeah, I think, okay, well, Weezy agrees with you.
Oh, and about 7 minute drill. Hold on. Before you move on, let me tell you about 7 minute drill. I think it's how fitting is that J. Cole come up here and echoes everything I've said about Kendrick Lamar and his Kendrick Lamar did. And again, I think Kendrick is great when he wants to be. Four albums. One they gassed, one was tragic. Damn was a classic. Is he not just stealing my bars? Is he not just saying the same thing I said a couple of weeks ago in here? And I was like, look, when I put K-Dot's discography up against Nicki Minaj, I was like, he got two classics, and that's it. And that's it. I gave him two classics. And Cole gave him one. And then, I was like, yo, he's just mimicking my words. Apparently, everybody felt the same way I felt. I was just the first person to say it.
No,
the difference between classic, my fault. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, good.
I don't know, I'm saying there's a difference. All right, we can classify, you know, bodies of work as classics, right? But you still have moments, you still have songs, and you still have replay value. That's not what's being talked about here. Because, all right, if your album could be like, that's your opinion. If your album is not like, you know what I mean, it's not a classic and stuff like that, do you still have replay value on that album? Do you still go back to a song on that album and you still listen to it and you play it just for his verse or just for the actual song or the message that he's telling? So, like, we could do away with all the classics and shit like that. Fuck all that. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's still some type of replay volume between a couple of those songs, between the whole albums.
I think I messaged Spotify and told them to take To Pimp a Butterfly out of the rap category. I think it's an embarrassment to even call that a rap album. I think y'all know better, and I think y'all doing this just to spite black people. Take that shit out of the rap category. To Pimp a Butterfly ass.
Josh, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Same shit white people email Spotify about the Beyonce album.
But yeah,
so, I'll tell you this. I heard that with that Cameron song y'all talk about with J. Cole and Cameron, that shit was so trash. It just made me, like, I literally stopped the whole album and then just put on Cameron. Like when has somebody's new album made you just say, you know what, I'm just going to go listen to this old album because I know it's much better, because he had a feature on it. Like, I couldn't even get through it the first time. So I don't know.
You need to go back and listen to it. J. Cole, I was actually pretty disappointed with Cameron's verse, but he already spit on that exact beat. I wish he didn't have Cameron rapping on that beat. I wish he didn't let him just talk like he did on the off-season intro. Instead of rapping on it, because, like, when Cameron started rapping on that beat, I can only hear the verse that
Paramount spit on her before. So, but J. Cole killed it, I thought. But anyway, yo, we can't get stuck there because we only got 20 minutes and we got to get through everything else. Because just like Blur said, yeah, he talked this shit about Kendrick's albums, which was totally false in my opinion. And then he turned around and apologized and said, nah, Kendrick's really dope. What do we think about the J. Cole apology? And then he took that 7-minute drill off the album. Ho, what did you think about J. Cole apologizing? All right, I don't know where Hove went, so we'll come back to him.
Oh, my bad. I just didn't hear you. What'd you say?
What do you think about J. Cole apologizing and taking that 7-minute drill song off his album?
I mean, listening, I don't like the move. Let me start off by saying I didn't like the move, like, because I wanted to hear more of it. But I know, I also know, like, I'm a big Cole fan, and I know I think he's changing as a person, and he's trying to step away from that rap beef, kind of like what New York said. Like, I think if it would have been paced as a competition, I don't think he would have removed it, but I think he's trying to remove himself from that, which, as a man, I respect it. Not the move I like, but I respect the man that just takes the stand of, I don't want to be a part of a big beef. Like, I'm going to just step back away from it and apologize. Because, I mean, in the rap culture, like, that's not that's frowned upon. Like, you looked at like a clown in most situations. So to do that and to stand on his own business and not get caught up into something that he doesn't feel he wants to get caught up in, I respect the move, even though I didn't like it.
Weezy, what'd you think of J. Cole apologizing?
I didn't even know he did it, but now that I hear he apologized, he took it off the album?
Yeah, that 7-minute drill song, dissing Kendrick Lamar, is no longer available on streaming platforms.
Oh, I didn't know that, but that's just more reason to me that this whole thing is just fake. Just fake. You know, it's still a song you make money off of, so why are you going to take it down? That's just fake. I don't like that move at all.
Blur,
even Ja Rule, his weak ass just is out there somewhere.
We're disrespecting. Yo, Ja Rule album got good. Ja Rule got good albums. I don't know where this Ja Rule hate comes from. But Blur, what do you think of J. Cole apologizing?
I think he overplayed his hand. I think these two are the same person. Unfortunately, I think they are too much in common. I respect him apologizing and tap it out. Like, look, if this ain't you, go ahead and tap out. And you just got to know you're gonna get the clown emoji. You're going to get the red nose emoji because that's not just what people do. But I respect that. You got to go against the grain and be like, look, I know this is going to make me look like a clown, but I'm going to do it anyway because I don't want to be in this. And I think he realized after he put 7-minute drill out, everything he said can be said about him and probably has been said about him. And I think he started hearing that. Like, you're going to talk about his discography. Look at yours. You have one hot album, one in a possible, depending on what you count as an album.
That's not true.
He got Nobel Prize and Grammys for his. You don't have none of that for yours. And so you just turn around and say you don't care about that. Like, it's looking a little funny in the light. And then I think people started, like, when you diss somebody, you can't diss them when you got the same thing coming right back at you. Like, I think he started seeing all that the replies and everything, like, yo, we used to call you Nap King Cole, man. We ain't want to hear from you at all. Like, you a study music or something. Like, it's Friday. Don't put on no J. Cole. And you coming at Kendrick for his music, and this is how we felt about your music. You going to talk about To Pimp a Butterfly put people to sleep, which it did. Absolutely great sleeping music, man. Sounds of the Rainforest, perfect for that. That's
not
what you
true.
Put out most of your career. That's exactly what J. Cole put out most of his career. I think he saw that, And I think he realized if he was going to actually have to battle with Kendrick, he wasn't going to be able to just do it lightheartedly like that. And so he tapped, and it sounds like he may have already known, like, yeah, this ain't about me anyway. I ain't trying to get into a Royal Rumble. I ain't about to start jumping Drake like everybody else. So let me just remove myself from the situation, which looks corny, but as time goes on, people will kind of forget about it and be like, yeah, that was corny, but if this back and forth goes further, people will forget that he was even involved in it. I will say, though, he won't be able to rap the same way, because I just know as soon as he starts rapping about how good he is or how nice he is, people are just going to start putting the Kendrick Lamar running down the street chasing you down meme everywhere he goes. They're going to put – they're going to stop a chop up J. Cole verse and just put that little image of Kendrick Lamar running down the street. And I can't wait for that to happen, because I know as a rapper, he's going to still be very boisterous in his rap lyrics. And every time he says the bar about how nice he is or how he's the nicest, it's going, you ever seen that meme where it's like something funny and then they got Jesus popping out from behind you waiting for you to laugh at something you shouldn't laugh at? They're going to have that, only it's going to be Kendrick Lamar. Every time J. Cole talk about how nice he is, it's going to be just Kendrick Lamar popping out from behind his shoulder like, yo, what'd you say? That's what I thought. Take it back.
New York, what you think of the apology?
I'm heavy in battle rap. So you already know how I feel about that apology. I think I agree with Hov on this situation. As a man, like, he's growing, and he already grew to a certain type of standpoint, to the point where, like, he don't even have to. I feel like as J. Cole, as him, he doesn't have to actually release a diss record. I think it's more of his lane to actually, like, do the subliminals and just keep it on track with whatever he's going musically. Because he's been on a run. He's been on a run last couple of months or whatever, on the Futures and everything like that. He's been killing shit. He really been killing shit. As far as releasing a diss track, the diss record, towards people, like, nah, I don't even think, like, that is, for one, I don't even look at J. Cole for one to even do that. So I was like, when he did that, like what you said, it's like friendly sparring, but keep that in a friendly sparring in a closed gym. Don't release that out to the world, and we already know you just friendly sparring with people who's going for cuts and all that. Like, you're not doing that. So, like, I respect him as a man standing on business and saying, like, take him out of that, but I think that's really what Blair said, like, anytime he rap or try to talk hard or something like that, like, it's going to follow him for his whole career. But he can rap, so he's going to get out of it. Certain people going to, like, forget about it, all that shit, but, like, I don't even think that beef shit is for you, and I don't even want to call it beef. Because it's a rap competition. Nobody is getting touched. Everybody is friends in here.
See, this is where I disagree with y'all. I think J. Cole is friends with all of them. I think Drake and Kendrick could get physical. I don't think Drake and Rick Ross would get physical. I think they're friends. They're just, like, that's the funny thing. When I look at this rap beef, I'm disappointed in J. Cole's apology. I get what y'all saying as a man. It does seem like this might turn a little vitriol between Kendrick and Drake, and J. Cole didn't want no part of it. But I think so highly of J. Cole the rapper that I think he could have felt. I think he could have found an angle to not diss Kendrick Lamar, but still talk his still the greatest rapper talk. And directed at everybody and still come off like he wasn't running from a fight. But the apology makes it look like he's running from the fight. And it's probably because you're all right. He probably knows he cool with Drake, he cool with Kendrick, but they don't like each other. And if he's in the middle, like, they're going to start saying some stuff where they're going to try to make him pick sides, and he's just like, I feel like doing all this stuff. But if he drops a great album, I know Blair disagrees, but I think the Offseason was a great album.
if his next album, The Fall Off, is a great album, yeah, people are going to say, you know, you ran from the Kendrick Lamar beef. But if it's a great album, like, he still solidifies himself. Like, when they talked about that big three, J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake, no one was really arguing. J. Cole has sold less out of both of them. He's less accomplished than both of them. But I think that we all thought that he was probably the first or second best rapper out of those three. So I was disappointed because I thought that he could have found a way to really insert himself in this, but use it as a jumping off point to show how skilled lyrically he is. And it seems like he's just going to tap out of it. So, you know, more blessings to him. So, okay, J. Cole apologizes. He gets kicked the fuck out. He's no longer in the group. Then Drake drops his diss. We only got about 5 minutes left. Let's go through it real quick. Blur, what'd you think of the Drake diss?
I thought, and I'll be quick to tell him. That's a good question. I know he sent it out to certain people to put on. And again, when you say it's not on streaming, I guess it's not on, I guess, the regular streaming services. You could just go to YouTube and listen to it. So I listen to a lot of music through YouTube, so I don't really always catch when something's on streaming and when it's not. But I thought it was cute. I thought he did what he had to do as far as, you know, he's getting jumped, so he threw some shots at everybody. This shot at Metro Boomin, probably the best bar on the entire thing. That's probably going to be the thing that leaves on. Metro, shut your whole ass up and make some drums. Like, that's going to be the bar that's repeated to the end of time. But as far as him going at Kendrick.
Hold on, bro. I don't understand that bar. Is he saying that Metro Boomin doesn't use drums?
No, I think he was just saying, like, yo, whatever, just you a hoe. Just go do what you do. Go make some music. Go make beats. I think he's saying, like, you do use drums.
So,
just go do that.
Yeah, so Metro Boomin doesn't rap. All he does, he's a producer. He makes beats. So when you say he shut up, yeah.
Okay, see, I'm used to this as being a little bit more clever than that. But, you know, because I was just like, well, does this music not have, like, I was a little confused. But, okay. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Blur, but I just wanted to ask.
Nah, I took it as, like, you remember when Hov was like, to all y'all niggas throwing shots at Jigga, y'all only get half a bar, fuck y'all niggas. It was like something like that. Like, yo, fuck y'all, man. Just whatever. Get out of here.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it was like that was.
That's all you do.
Funny.
All you do is spin that Bernie Mac joint.
All you do is spin records. That's all you do. All right, but go ahead.
Yeah, but as far as Drake going at Kendrick, I thought it was cute. It was like a little, just say, look, I'm not going to waste too much time. I'm going to go ahead and just let you know I am responding. This is not going unaddressed, but I'm still going to wait for you to actually send off some real shots because I'm scared. That's the message I got. I'm scared. I want to see what you do first. So I'm going to play it nice and light and close to the best. You wear a size 7. Like, that didn't really hit for me, but calling out his wife and making it seem like his wife been sleeping with the security guard, yeah, that's a little bit, I mean, that's the stuff that got him in trouble with Pusha T, talking about somebody's wife. So, yeah.
Okay. Weezy, real quick, what did you think of the Drake diss?
I think out of all of them, that's the only one that you can play, and like, that's actually a rap song, and yeah, he got some disses out on it. The other ones is like they just put on a beat and tried to make some rhymes about somebody, but Drake, he put out a song. Like, that's a hit. I don't know who he's talking about, or I don't get all the stuff behind it, but I know people are going to be rocking to it. So I look at it like that.
Okay, New York, what'd you think of the Drake diss?
I like the style and the way he put it out. He still hasn't even claimed that's what he put out or stuff like that. But I like the way he put it out. It was just like, it's not on no streaming platforms. It's not on nobody's like album or whatever the project they got on. And if he did put it out, just in the way that it got leaked, I love it because that brings you back into the time where people actually used to rap beef like that, right? And he went at everybody. He didn't just go at it. It was mainly at Kendrick. He went at Metro Boomin. He went at Future. He also went at Rick Ross, and we got to talk about Rick Ross. We ain't even got time to talk about Rick Ross. Man, he had a solid disc too, and he got at Rocky too. So I think him covering all his ground in that track record, if that's officially him and ain't no AI, I think that's a solid disc. That's a solid disc for like five or six people coming at you like that. Especially, I'm not even going to say, like, Blair said it was cute. Nah, that wasn't cute. That was major direct. You seen what Kendrick did. Kendrick was like, oh. He told that little nigga, drop it, give me 50. Drop it, give me 50. What? What is he going to say? I'm waiting, Kendrick. You gonna let him talk to you like that? I think out of this, I'm gonna make it real short. I hate the one line that I hate about Drake in his diss. He said he just got his nails done. Don't make me what like break him or break a cuticle or some shit like that. I hated that. Don't make me break a nail or something like that. Other than that, but like yeah, it was a solid diss though.
Okay, so I like the Drake diss. I thought the Drake bars was good. I thought they were funny. I thought they were okay. I mean, that's the thing that about. I don't know if we'll have time to get to the Rick Ross, but like, and I have no factual basis on this. But like Kendrick dropping the all, like you could tell he's funny. Drake's this song, you could tell that he's like hurt emotionally, right? And I guess that's his thing or whatever. Right? Even Pusha this, like you could tell Pusha was like you were hiding a child. Like the shit it's disrespectful, but it's funny. But you could tell Drake is just mad. I'm waiting to see if Kendrick responds, but I do like the Drake diss. I do like the song that he put it together. Like you said, it's a good little catchy. It's a lot of double and triple entendres in there. I didn't even catch the whole thing about Kendrick Lamar's wife sleeping with the security guard. So I had to go back and check that out. You put me on news, Blur. But you know, I thought it was solid. We only got about 2 minutes, so then. Let's just fast forward. So Drake drops a diss against everybody. Kendrick ain't respond. Real quick, go around the room. Does anybody slight Kendrick right now for not having responded of yet? Blur?
Nah, I think he's too big. If Drake and Rick Ross are pillow fighting right now, I think Kendrick should just stay out of it until all that dies down and then get back to business.
Weezy, you care that Kendrick ain't respond yet?
No, I don't care. I wouldn't know if he did yet until it hits the mainstream, you know what I mean? So I'm not mad at him if he, you know, half these dudes are getting ghostwriters anyway, probably. So he probably got something coming. I doubt Kendrick getting a ghostwriter, though, but I'm sure Drake does.
New York, you care that Kendrick didn't respond yet?
Nope, because he already shook the room, and we already seen him do it before. That's what he's supposed to do in his culture. And he did it again. We got people talking, so he did what he was supposed to do. I don't even expect him to respond.
All right, so real quick, it looks like Drake and Rick Ross have decided to go back and forth. Rick Ross has called him a white boy consistently and told him that he had got a BBL on the nose job and that his plane, like, this is crazy. The diss is, you know, your private plane was given to you and then it's old. I love what Rick Ross said. Your plane was built for, it wasn't built for humans to be on it. It was built to hold packages. And the first thing that popped in my head was, well, who was supposed to fly it? So what do we think about Rick Ross? And Rick Ross dropped a diss too that I thought was really good. Weezy, what'd you think about the Rick Ross diss, and do you care that now him and Drake are beefing?
I didn't hear Rick Ross's diss, but I saw that YouTube clip, and I was like, why is Rick Ross in this? But I did think that shit was hilarious, and from a money perspective, I think Rick Ross is the only one who can compete with Drake, obviously, so I think, you know, he could really say something. if they want to go bar for bar, like, they both got big money. I mean, Rick Ross from, you know, his investments and stuff, and Drake, you know, he's still making that money off of music. So I'd like to see that grow a little bit, because I think Rick Ross could probably take it not in a violent situation, but he might be able to spit some bars that could be hurtful and not on this fake shit that everybody else doing. So
New York,
I'd want to see that.
New York, what you think about Ricky getting it?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it wasn't his beat to get into in the first place, but, I mean, look, Rick Ross can rap. I mean, if you see what 50 did to Rick Ross, and you know, the 50 was spawning to everybody on Piggy Bank, if you look that up. Rick Ross, like, held up his beef with 50 Cent on a rap tip. As far as real life, nah, Rick Ross can actually rap. Like, if you actually listen to the Mafia Music 1, 2, 3, aimed at 50 Cent, and then he had a whole diss aimed at Birdman, too, after that, too. Like, he can really rap, aside from being a correctional officer, but, like, he can really rap.
Blur, what do you think?
Nah, this is the only thing that makes me think this might be staged. Like, it started from an unfollow on IG. Like, Ross ain't actually say nothing. And then what, Drake come back and was like, yeah, make sure you get your only money from the Wingstop. Like, it's not really a diss. Well, he did talk about him cuffing chicks like he's an officer and everything. But now they're talking about who got the bigger mansion. And, like, that's the kind of stuff I don't want to see. I know it's entertaining. It's funny. But if we got a real rap battle that can happen, I'd rather get to that and stop with the, oh, you called me white boy. You said I got a nose job. Let me talk to my mom. Let's go back and forth with Instagram captions and jokes. Get back to the rapping.
Hey, that's like when Drake said he had a bigger pool than Ye. I thought it was just the funniest diss of just rich, out-of-touch black people. All right, we got to get out of here. Great show tonight. 10 seconds, we got to get out of here. Weezy, anything you want to say to the people before we roll? We'll pick back up the beats next week.
Nah, glad you got the show back on. Glad to be here. Appreciate you.
Blur, you got anything? Yeah, oh, my bad, Weezy. I thought you were done. Glad to have you, Weezy. Blur, you got anything?
Thank you for coming. God bless and good night, man. K-Dot, take your time. Wait for all the riffraff to get out the way.
New York, New York.
Look, aside from this rap competition, yeah, it's getting warmer outside. I don't know if COVID is still alive. It's still alive, but next thing you got to fight is these allergies out here. But other than that, get to it. The summer is coming, you know what I mean? So, like, do your push-ups, do your sit-ups, jumping jacks, whatever you got to do to get the beach body right. If you're going on vacation, drink plenty of water. Other than that, you know what I mean? Stay blessed. I look forward to the next conversation.
We out.